Psalm 51. I am going to preach. This is the last Bible study I'll give you on the topic of soul winning. I think tonight should enlighten you. It should help you. It should encourage you. Last Wednesday, I was extremely practical. The last couple Wednesdays. Tonight, likewise, will be very practical. When you get to Psalm 51, look at me so that I know that you're there. Folks, I'm gonna make a statement. Sometimes we think we're spiritual when we say what God didn't say. I found the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. God was very capable to say what he wanted to say. And sometimes preachers want to sound more intelligent and more spiritual than God, and it's a good way to get yourself in trouble. I guess I'm just plain. I guess I'm just simple-minded enough. I'm not stupid, though. I do happen to understand the scriptures. God made it very simple so a man like me could understand it. And if we'll just use what God says and not change the meaning of what God says, we'd be a whole lot better off. And tonight, I'm going to kind of set us straight on this. Psalm 51, look at verse number 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Watch this. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. I want to stop there. Many would tell you that this is the psalm of David's repentance after his sin with Bathsheba. It may be, it may not be. I know this, it was the words of God, it wasn't David's words. Before you put too much stock in who the penman was, how about we look at the author? Doesn't matter who the secretary was, it matters who gave the message. And the message came from God. Everybody doing okay? All right. These are the words of God, correct? So it really doesn't matter what the circumstances going on around it. It's the ever-living word of God. That means it applies as much today as it does then. Could it have been at that point in time? Yes, it could have been. But realize these are not David's words. These are God's words. And these are God's words. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I have been soul winning for over 40 years of my life. I have knocked on doors and witnessed and told people about Jesus Christ virtually every week of my life for over 40 years. That's a long time. I cannot tell you that every time it is time for me to go soul winning, that I'm excited to go. Everybody look at me, I'm being honest. I can't tell you, as your pastor, I always want to go. Sometimes I got to pick me up by the shirt collar and kick myself in the backside and say, you got to do it. I can't tell you, I always want to go. It does not mean I do not go. It does not mean I don't go when I'm supposed to go. I just said I don't always want to go. Everybody doing okay? I don't always look forward to going. Say why? No nail prints. I'm a sinner too, just like you. There's times I've been out getting doors slammed in my face, getting cussed out, getting what for? And I'm thinking, man, I could have been in my tree stand shooting a deer. Nobody bothering me. I'd had a gun to shoot back with. There's times I feel that way. He said, well, you shouldn't feel that way. You're the pastor. Okay, but you feel that way. You didn't even go. Ouch. You must remember that there is a difference in joy and happiness. There is a difference in joy and happiness. The word happiness means happenings. It is the pleasure in the happenings around you. It's your birthday, Brother Barnes, and he had a happy birthday because people came and brought him money and gifts and lauded him and told him he's an old geezer. So he was happy about those things. You get good grades. Wyatt was telling me about his report card and that he got all A's, and that's good, but that's happiness. You say, why? Because it's a happening. It's something going on around him. Now, those are enjoyable. They're pleasant. There are things that are going on. But may I say this? Joy is when the news comes, there's been death in the family. And you have to stay on topside while you're hurting. Joy is there's another battle coming. You see it coming and you know it's on. And you got to stay happy while you go through the battle. Notice verse number 12. God says, restore, that means give back unto me the joy of thy salvation. Notice it doesn't say the joy of my salvation. It says the joy of thy salvation. Now, David was a saved man, but he said, I need the joy sometimes restored about salvation. Now, listen to me very carefully here. God does not, well, as humans, we're sinful. And we often look at life through our own sinful eyes and not God's. Sometimes we apply our meanings to words and not God's. And that's where we get things messed up doctrinally. We often get selfish and only see life as it affects me. You know, behind these two little beady eyes, I can get pretty selfish. I can get pretty self-centered. I can get as that's all I see. You know, if I take my glasses off, boy, you look a whole lot better. I can't see you. Joe, you never look so good. You know, believe me, it wasn't that good even when it was fuzzy. Can I tell you something? Sometimes we look at life as only we see it. And may I say something? There's a bigger world out there than what you see. There is a lot more to life than just what you see. There's a lot more to life than what I see. Now, this is when we let our feelings get in the way. When we start getting selfish, we start getting hurt feelings. This is when we get our dreams, our desires, and our plans in the way of God. Everybody doing okay? This is when we allow something new to bring pleasure when the old that once brought pleasure isn't bringing as much pleasure as it was when it was new. It amazes me how people can get so excited about something new and something that they had, they say, oh, I don't need that anymore. I don't want that anymore. Wait a minute, you were excited about it when it was new to you. Well, yeah, but I got something else that's new. Oh, so the new shiny is better than the old faithful. I got some work done on my old truck this week. Cost me a little bit more money than I wanted. But it was sure a whole lot better than buying a new truck. $600-800 is a lot of money, but it's a whole lot better than $40,000 for a new pickup truck. No doubt about it. I'll pay $600 or $800. I don't have to make payments on it. Now, wait a minute. It smarts a little bit. It's not what I really wanted to do, but I had no choice. But it's still better than buying a new one. I looked at the mechanic and I said, well, I said, tell me I made a mistake. He said, Pastor, he said, that truck's got another 100, 150,000 miles in it. He said, you just keep bringing it back and fixing it. He said, I'll let you know when you shouldn't fix it anymore. I said, that's what I thought. He said, just keep on bringing it back. He said, that old motor's just going to go for a long time. I said, that's what I wanted to hear. Salvation is good whether or not the circumstances around us are good or not. Let me say that again. Salvation is good whether the circumstances going on around you are good or not. Yes. You will not always feel like going soul winning. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. God did not command us to get the gospel to every creature when we felt good. God didn't say in Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature when you feel like it. He didn't say, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and all Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth, when you get around to it or when you feel like it. He said, go do it. He didn't say if you felt like doing it. He didn't say if you liked doing it. He said, your responsibility. He said, I took care of the responsibility of paying the price for salvation. Your responsibility is to get the gospel out to fellow mankind. It's not God's job to get the gospel out. It's our job. God gave us the gospel. He fulfilled the gospel. He gave us the words of God. It's our job to go out and preach the gospel. It's our job to get it out, whether we feel like it or not. Boy, that's a good statement. He did not command us to be his witnesses when we felt like it. I cannot find one place, Brother Mike, in the Bible where our feelings have anything to do with soul winning. Show me one place. Show me one place in the Bible where it says you have to have a good spirit and feel spiritual to go soul winning. It's not in there. These suave, debonair preachers that get up and say, well, you have to have the right attitude to serve God. Those people want to make me barf. Anybody says God, God is spelled G-O-D, not G-A-W-D. Folks, Jesus led a maniac who didn't have any clothes on, who is living in the cemetery, cutting himself, busting chains, living full of demons, cast out the demons. The guy got saved, and he said, go home to thy friends and tell him what happened to you. I don't know that the man really felt like doing it, but I promise you one thing. He went and told people, because everybody's heard about the maniac of Gadara. Everybody doing okay? Now hang on for a second here. It is a command to go witness. It's not a request. When I was a child and my dad said, it's Wednesday, take the trash out, he didn't form it in a question. He didn't say take it out when you feel like it. Because if you didn't feel like it, he gave you a feeling to make you like it. And it was not enjoyable. I can tell you what part of the anatomy it is. Say, how do you know that? Experience is wisdom, trust me. Yes, we may do better if we have a better attitude. But either way, I am to obey. I did not like taking trash out in the middle of June, July, August, when it's 100 degrees out, and that stuff's been cooking in the sun all week. The maggots are crawling. The flies are all over it. It smells like rotten meat. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Nobody enjoys taking the trash out when it's like that. But may I say this, didn't matter whether I liked it or not, it needed done. God tells us that joy will bring productivity in our soul winning. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Verse number 13. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. He said, when you get through that part where it takes joy to do it, then you'll start producing as a Christian in your soul winning. God did not say easiness would bring about productivity. He says opposition. Joy requires opposition. He didn't say new fancy buildings and modern ways and new technology would bring productivity. God said, get your joy back about salvation, then productivity will come. When joy is restored, then you begin producing as a soul winner. Boy, that's a good statement. Sometimes joy is conquering yourself. Sometimes joy is that opposition of, I don't want to go. I say this often. I mean it. Man, I hope they're not home. That is generally the first thought I have when I go soul winning on the first door. The worst part of that is sometimes they're not. And I got to go to the next one. I wonder if they're home. Sometimes I wonder if somebody would have been home if I didn't have the bad attitude at the first door. Let me give you three thoughts here and I'll be done. Number one, we need to daily take time to be thankful for our salvation. To become a better soul winner, to become a better witness for God, you ought to take 5 minutes every day and thank God for your salvation. I wonder when the last time you sat down and just talked to God about how thankful you are that he saved you. Folks, have you ever thought about, if you can't tell God you're thankful about your salvation, how are you going to tell a total stranger? You know, if you would talk to God about how thankful you are about your salvation, you might get excited enough about it to tell somebody else. You say, preacher, do you ever get depressed? I can't tell you that I never get there, but I don't stay there longer than about 10 seconds. Never. Because I know how to get out of it real fast, Brother Mike. If I start feeling in the mully grubs, it means I'm focusing on me and not God. And I decide, first of all, I don't have to die and go to hell someday. And anything this side of hell is awful good right now. Yes, not only that, my name's written in the book of life in heaven. Not only do I not have to go to hell and burn forever, but I get to go to heaven. And my name is written there by God himself. And one day I'll see my name in his handwriting in heaven and I'll get to see that. Whew, that's enough to get you a little bit excited. That's what happened when I got saved. Not only that, Jesus shed his blood for me and he put it on the mercy seat in heaven. I'll get to go to the tabernacle that's set up in heaven, the true tabernacle, according to the book of Hebrews. And I'll get to walk into the Holy of Holies and see the blood of Jesus Christ that washed my sin away on the mercy seat in heaven. I'm already starting to work it up, folks. I wasn't discouraged before, but it works up real fast. Folks, my sins are forgiven. Brother Mike, everything that I have ever done that was sinful, it's been forgiven. It's put in the depths of the sea. It's as far as the east is from the west. That means what you did is the same too if you're saved. Right. That means this, I'll never be judged for my sins. I will never face God. Old Jack Van Impe back in the 70s used to preach, when you get to heaven, God's going to put your life on a movie screen. You're going to see all the things you... That's not true. You say, why? Because I'll never be held accountable for those. They're under the blood. I never face judgment for them. Now, I'll face the consequences here, but I don't face judgment for it there. Not only that, I'll get to see our Savior. The one who gave his life for me. By the way, the one who lived my righteousness and put his righteousness on my account. I heard a preacher say this years ago. And I watched a bunch of heads snap and I watched him take some criticism for it. But he was 100% right. I am just as saved as Jesus Christ is. The moment you get saved, you are as saved as Jesus, and you cannot be unsaved. Amen. You can't be any more unsaved than the Son of God. Now, folks, that's worth getting excited about. Not only that, I have direct access to God. I don't got to go through the priest. I don't got to go through St. Michael, St. Paul, St. Peter, or the Holy Father, the Holy Mother, or the Holy Cow. I don't have to go through the rosary beads. I don't have to crawl up steps. I don't have to kiss the Pope's ring. I don't have to kiss his toe. And if I got that close, I'd probably bite it off. That's what you call free toes. Anyway, I'm not going to do it. I don't have to pay homage to the vicar of heaven because that's Jesus. The Pope is not the vicar of heaven. He's the vicar of hell. I don't have to go through Mother Mary. Well, if you pray through Mary, that's Jesus's mother and he has to listen to his mom. So you're more apt to get what you want. I don't have to light candles. I don't have to do none of that mess. I have direct access to God. The moment he died, the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. Right between the holy place and the holy of holies, and the congregation is able to go in, that means we have direct access to God. We don't have to have another high priest. He took care of it all. I could go on and on. If you just took 5 minutes every day and listed the things and talked out loud to God about why you're happy that you're saved, guess what? You could take that, turn it into joy, and you're more apt to go out and tell somebody else about it. Some of you have never told God how thankful you are you're saved. Brother Jim texted me early this morning, 5:30. He said, Brother Bush, he said, Brother Pat's going to go to heaven today probably. He said, just pray he goes quick. He said, we don't want him to linger and suffer. And I said, Brother Jim, I'm sorry. I said, I'm sorry for you. I'm sorry for his family, but thank God for heaven. Thank God for heaven. Can I tell you something? Thank God for heaven. And that we know we can go there someday. But how long has it been since you told God why you're happy that you're going to go there? And you wonder why it's hard to tell somebody else? If you can't tell the one who gave it to you, how are you going to tell somebody that doesn't know anything about him? So, any opposition or problem I may have is nothing in comparison to being saved. I don't care how bad the news. I was getting my truck this afternoon. A couple folks in the repair shop there. Of course, those that work there, they know me very, very, very well. I've sent a lot of people to them, and they call me pastor, and one of the workers has been to our church, and others are in the process of coming. She called me pastor, and there's two folks in there. They said, oh, you're a pastor? I said, sure I am. I handed them gospel tracts. She said, now, pastor, she said, we did the best we could, and I know I quoted you this, but they had to put that extra part in, so it's going to be this. I said, I understand. He said, that much different? You didn't even bark at it? I said, not with these folks. I trust them. And the lady sitting behind the desk, she said, Pastor Bush has sent us an awful lot of business. She said, he's never complained one time. She said, probably one of the best customers we have is Pastor Bush. The old fella looked at me, Vietnam vet. And I said, by the way, thank you for your service. She said, and I've heard him say that over and over and over while he's here. He said, he looked at the track. He said, huh, I know where that's at. I said, good, come pay me a visit. The lady sitting behind the desk said, I've been to his church, you ought to go there. Can I tell you something? I'll pay a little extra for my truck to get fixed if I can have a joyous attitude. I didn't enjoy having to pay that much money for my truck. But can I tell you something? It's worth it. Got to get the gospel out. One of the fellows working on our bus. Not his fault that it's taken this long. I believe we'll get his family in our church. I'll wait a couple extra weeks if we get family and church over it, and God able to help somebody through it. Yes. It's not been the way I want it. I didn't choose that opposition, but it's there. By the way, when I start telling him about how good my salvation is, watch this. I get my eyes off myself. I get my eyes off my circumstances. I get my eyes off of my feelings. And God's able to show me the joy that is set before me. Let's daily take time to thank God for our salvation. Number two, after we have the joy of our salvation restored, then we'll want to tell others about him. Let me say that again. When we get the joy of our salvation restored, then we'll want to tell others about him. Look at verse 12 and 13 again. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Notice it says then, the adverb. Then is when. After the joy is restored, then I will teach. I don't think you have to have joy to teach it, but I know this. Once you do have the joy restored, you will do it. You'll get so excited that you're ready to tell somebody about him. Are you excited enough to tell somebody about Jesus? I had to put gas in my truck this afternoon after I picked it up from the mechanic shop. My light came on and I drove all the way home and then drove partway back here and stopped at Sheets. I'd already given tracks out, but there's a guy pumping gas on the other side over there, and I was over there just whistling away and singing. He said, "Man, you sound pretty happy for somebody who's got to pump gas." I reached in my pocket. I said, "You'd be happy too if you do for sure you're on your way to heaven. Do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven?" And he looked at me. He didn't know what to say. I said, "I'm Pastor Bush, a pastor just down the road down here." I said, "I'd sure love to have you come to my church. You can find out what makes us so happy." "Okay, thanks, Pastor." Boy, he got back in his truck as fast as he could. He thought he had met some weirdo. He did. When we have focused on truth and not our circumstances, guess what? We're not focused on what somebody might say to us. I'm not worried about how people receive me. My job isn't to be worried about what they say or what they think. My job is to get the news out. Too many of us are so worried about, well, what are they going to think? Who cares? That's their problem, not yours. Right. When you get over yourself to the point you don't care, you're about ready to have fun as a soul winner. People will begin to see something we have that they want. You know, the world doesn't want more of the world. I talk to people almost every week of my life going to these churches that have gone contemporary. They got the rock music. They got the dress casual. They got the come in your pajamas. They got the what believe whatever Bible you want. Just let's all come and hold hands and sing Kumbaya mentality. Can I tell you something? I talk to those people every week, and I often will say, "Are you happy there?" "Oh, we enjoy it." "Are you getting spiritual there?" No. "Do you know for sure you're going to heaven?" "Well, I think so." I win those people to Christ by the truckloads. Can I tell you why? It's all superficial, make you feel good. This old preacher may not make you feel good, but I promise you one thing. There are some things in life worth being uncomfortable for so that you are good for the rest of eternity. When you have joy, people are going to want what you have. We will have the joy needed to make lost people want what we have. Now, there's something out there called lifestyle evangelism. I am against what lifestyle evangelism is based off of. Lifestyle evangelism says, if you live a good enough life, people are going to flock to you and say, "What must I do to be saved?" Folks, I've been preaching a long time, 39, almost 40 years. Been soul winning for 40 years. One time in 40 years, somebody came up to me and said, what's this getting saved stuff all about? And it's because we were out soul winning at the time, bombarding an area. And he said, I got all these papers about it. What's it mean? Glad you asked. I want him to cry standing on the street corner. One time out of 40 years, and I've given my life to preaching the gospel. If it's only happened to me once in 40 years, it's not going to happen to you ever. Hate to tell you that. Did you ever notice those lifestyle evangelism churches don't take their offering that way? They don't put the offering plate up there and the preacher start giving everything and everybody just comes and gives. No, those are the places where they pass the plates 2, 3, 4, 5 times till they get what they want. They believe in lifestyle evangelism, but not lifestyle tithing. Now, I do believe this. If you live with more credibility and you live with victory, you live with joy, more people are apt to listen to you. I will agree with that statement, but I'm not relying on that because guess what? The moment you get saved, you can tell somebody else how to get saved and they'll get saved. I've watched lost people give the gospel and see people saved. It is not the soul winner that sees people saved. It's the gospel. It's not our words. It's his word, his truth in us. Boy, that's good. By the way, if you have your joy, we're better able to relate to those having a hard time because we're having a hard time too. But we can show them out of the hard time by how we got out of the hard time with the gospel. When we rejoice in our salvation, it motivates us to want to tell somebody else about the Lord. And I'll finish with this. Let me give you just a few quick little tips here, and I'm done. Have a scheduled time to go. You won't just go soul winning and do it without it being on your schedule. I tell people this. Make it as much a part of your schedule as a meal is every day. If you're going to go on Thursdays, say, okay, it's most of you don't miss a meal. But we'll miss soul winning just because we don't feel like it. We'll miss soul winning because I just don't want to go. I got something else scheduled. Okay, did you reschedule it? Well, it'll wait for another week. Isn't it amazing how you can put it off for another week and it's been a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years? Have a scheduled time to go. You're more apt to go more often if it's scheduled. Make it as important as a meal. By the way, if you can't go when we have something scheduled, I've said this before, call. We'll make sure somebody can go with you. I will rearrange my schedule. I'll rearrange his schedule. We'll get somebody to rearrange their schedule to where you can go soul winning. Number two, we need silent partners who'll just go with us and be with somebody. By the way, being a silent partner is the best way to start learning how to be a soul winner. So, well, I'd like to go, but I don't know what to say. Good, just show up. We'll put you with somebody that knows what to say. And you can go out for week after week after week after week. You never have to say anything. I'll put you with somebody. You don't have to do the talking. But you could free up two people that know how to go soul winning and multiply things by being able to do so and learn how to do it yourself and be a little better at it. And you don't have to say a thing. And get involved in passing out tracts. And there's tracts at the door. Get them, pass them out everywhere you go. Well, people might think I'm weird. They already thought that. Don't worry about it. Who cares what people think? Folks, think through this. The people with green, purple, and weirdo hair, they don't know if they're male. They don't know if they're female. They're not quite sure if they like girls or like boys or like both or don't like any. And they want to call us weird. You're worried about what they think about us? I'm not worried a bit. Let me finish. Brother Hiles was probably the best soul winner and best soul winning pastor the world has ever seen. Documented, almost 2 million people saved under his ministry. There's only been three other men in history that had a million people saved. D.L. Moody, Billy Sunday, and Charles Spurgeon. Jack Hiles was the fourth and did double. You take all the preacher boys and all the people that Brother Hiles trained. I know a missionary in the Philippines, and I know a missionary in Mexico, that between the two of them, they've had almost 750,000 people saved. They were both trained under Brother Hiles, just those two. Brother Hiles trained over 1,000 pastors and assistant pastors in his ministry. Think through that. If each one of them had 10,000 saved, times 1,000, that's 10 million people saved on top of what he did. Millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of people will be in heaven because of Dr. Jack Hiles. Say what you want about him. I knew him personally. It worked for him. He used to say this. You go soul winning all of the time, some of the time. And you go soul winning some of the time, all of the time. Say, what does that mean? Let me tell you. Have a regular time allotted to where all you do is go soul winning. Thursday night, 6:30, Saturday morning, 10 o'clock. That's going soul winning all of the time for a portion of time. But when you're at the mechanic shop or at the gas pump or at Dunkin' Donuts or at the restaurant or wherever you are, that's opportunity to go soul winning too. That's opportunity to take a track out and witness to somebody. That's going soul winning some of the time, all the time. In other words, have a scheduled time to go? Yes. And you take that allotted time and do nothing but go soul winning? Yes. But while you're out in your casual daily life, you're at the doctor's office or you're at the store, you're at this place, that place, wherever you're at, make sure you're loaded, got the gun loaded, and you can pull a gospel track out at least and give it to somebody. I love it. I love it. I love it. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Let me ask you a question. Are you happy you're saved? Are you joyous that you're saved, even when you don't feel like it? When you get that joy, and if you take 5 minutes every day, thank God for your salvation, tell him why you're thankful for it, and talk to him about it, I promise you, it's a whole lot easier to tell somebody else after you told the guy that gave it to you. It really is. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. We ought to restore our joy as soul winners. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, man, that thing nailed me right between the eyes. That truth got me tonight. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Many, many, many hands. You may put them down.